This is Matt Wells at UN News. The Somali people have demonstrated heroism and resilience in the face of ongoing insecurity caused by senseless terrorist attacks. That's according to the UN's most senior representative in the Horn of Africa country. James Swan, who is the UN Secretary General's Special Representative for Somalia, was speaking at UN headquarters in New York ahead of briefing the Security Council on Wednesday. Somalia continues to be affected by insecurity caused by terrorist organisations like Al-Shabaab. It also struggles regularly with drought and is chronically underdeveloped. Mr. Swan arrived in Somalia just 2 months ago, so Daniel Dickinson began by asking him for his first impressions.
It's been some years since I was last in Mogadishu, and so overall I've been impressed by signs of progress, signs of life that I've witnessed. Recently coming back from meetings, I've seen young people playing football in the streets. I've seen signs of economic activity, shops, even a traffic jam, which suggests that the capital is indeed coming back to life after many years of difficulty. That said, of course, the security situation remains a concern for all of us, but especially for the Somali population that has suffered over many years from senseless attacks on civilians.
That's right. I mean, there's almost a daily threat of attacks in Mogadishu. How does that affect Somalis who live there?
Well, they continue with their lives despite these threats. They open businesses. They send their children to school. They have weddings. They care for one another. They simply have had to move on and continue with their lives and livelihoods in spite of these threats. And I think it's really testimony to their resilience, to their strength, really to their heroism in the face of these senseless terrorist attacks.
The mayor of Mogadishu was assassinated recently. He's one of those casualties of the civil unrest. You'd actually met him earlier in the day. You know, what was he like and what impact is that going to have on Mogadishu, on Somalia?
Well, the mayor, known as Engineer Yariso, was a well-known political figure and leader in Mogadishu and more broadly in Somalia. He'd held a number of senior ministerial and advisory portfolios in multiple governments. He had spent many years abroad in the diaspora, and I think he was an impressive example, of many Somalis who have returned from abroad to help rebuild their country, to invest their time, their energy, their expertise, and their commitment in trying to make Somalia a better place. He was an example of that. He will be missed. But at the same time, Somalis have shown great strength in overcoming previous losses. And from talking to those on his staff, I have no doubt that they will continue his work and seek to build on his earlier accomplishments as they move forward in the future.
I think the image that many people get from the international media is of a country in a continual political crisis and turmoil. How fair is that?
There are many important political decisions that need to be made in Somalia in the coming months if national priorities are going to be achieved in 2020. There are important objectives for 2020, including organizing national-level elections, including continuing to make progress on security operations and broader security sector reform, and advancing the national development agenda, including by obtaining debt relief that would allow for predictable financing going forward. These are important priorities. They require a political agreement. They require a consensus among main Somali leaders in order to achieve the success that we're all hoping for in 2020. So yes, there's constant political debate, constant political competition within Somalia, as within other countries. But what's most important now is that we move ahead with a more consensual process leading into these key goals for 2020.
But most levels of government still struggle to perform their basic functions. Is there any way that that's going to change in the near future?
I've in fact been impressed since my return to Somalia and in the 2 months that I've been in country. I've had the opportunity to visit all of the federal member states as well as Somaliland. And overall, I have been impressed by the quality and capability of the administrations that I've encountered in these different locations. I think we're seeing many well-educated, dynamic, committed individuals, increasingly young leaders who are assuming responsibilities and roles at the in the administrations, both at the national level and at the federal member state level. So they give me great optimism, really, that the country is on the right path and that these individuals are going to make a significant further progress in being able to respond to the needs of the Somali people.
You've mentioned 2020, next year. Why is this a key year?
It's a key year partly because of the political cycle. In Somalia, the presidential mandate is 4 years, and so there is to be an election and another transition in 2020 or perhaps early 2021. As with any period or mandate in government, this is a moment to try to consolidate progress and complete important goals that have been elaborated since the beginning of the president's term. So among those are the importance of completing the electoral process itself. This will require adoption of an electoral code before the end of this year. And other technical preparations, including, of course, identifying and funding the necessary budget. 2020 will also be important for consolidating further progress on the security front, both in expanding on very promising operations that have been undertaken in Lower Shabelle since the beginning of April and that are continuing, but also to ensure that other security sector improvements advance. This involves not just the military, but police, justice, corrections, so that the Somali people can live in an environment of greater security and justice. And finally, as I mentioned, there is an important milestone in the national development agenda related to debt relief. The government has been working very hard on this priority. It requires some further consultation and support with the legislature and with the federal member states. But this would be a key benchmark of accomplishment if Somalia is able to meet requirements for debt relief in 2020.
There are, however, groups operating in the country, Al-Shabaab for one, which don't want that progress to be made.
Well, Al-Shabaab offers a negative agenda for the country. It's a destructive agenda that is seeking to disrupt efforts by well-meaning Somalis and Somali leaders to see the country advance. I think it's to the credit of the overall Somali population that Al-Shabaab has been unsuccessful in halting the progress that that we've seen in recent years. And that despite the persistence of terrorist attacks, the national priorities continue to advance, and we want to see them further consolidated in the coming year.
What role can the UN play in helping Somalia on its path towards a better future? I mean, do you get the impression when you meet Somali leaders that they're confident the UN is doing good work?
The United Nations family is engaged in a wide range of programming across the full United Nations country team. And this includes work on women's empowerment. It includes work on youth inclusion. It includes outreach to civil society groups. It includes humanitarian response through the World Food Programming the Food and Agriculture Organization and UNICEF, coordinated by the Office of the Coordinator for Humanitarian Affairs. It includes work on cultural and educational issues and an array of other priorities. It also includes important support in the security sector, notably through the UN Support Office for Somalia. So I think across a wide range of issues, the United Nations family is contributing in close partnership with Somalis. I would add also, of course, the United Nations assistance mission to Somalia plays a role in terms of good offices and efforts to support political and community reconciliation and to see the national political project, including further democratization, move forward in the country. So I think across a broad range of priorities that the Somalis themselves have established, we are important contributing partners.
As you said, you've been working on Somalia for more than a couple of decades. What's the best case outlook for the country 10 years hence? How would you like to see Somalia 10 years from now?
I think there's a widely shared vision that we would like to see Somalia at peace in the country and with its neighbors. We'd like to see it governed peaceably and with stability and with significant public participation through a broadly accepted electoral process. We'd like to see it on the path to sustained development with involvement not only by development partners, but by an active private sector that's contributing to the lives and livelihoods of the Somali people. I think these objectives are widely shared. I think we would like to see those objectives also be inclusive in terms of participation by women, participation by young people. 70% of the country is under 35 years of age, 70% of the population. So the future is now, in many ways, for Somalia. So I think that is the objective, that is the shared vision that is guiding all of us as we try to work in partnership for a better Somalia.